Thank you, thank you, thank you. And to all of you who are here today, and for those of you who are joining us through the ethers, as I like to say, we welcome you, and I'm glad for your presence as well. So give yourselves also a lovely, lovely round of applause. Yes. Spring is trying to spring out there. I was driving in, and I saw some of the trees that were budding. I thought, oh, how wonderful, spring is coming. A new day is dawning, new energy, new life. And that's always a beautiful thing. It's a reminder that we always have the opportunity to begin anew. I don't care what happened yesterday, how bad it was. This day is a new day. And with every new day contains new possibilities, right? New possibilities. So we don't want to ever, ever give up. I have a little pouch. I have several little ones with little sayings. And this morning I picked, never give up. Never give up, because we never know what the day will bring. Yes. So I'd like to begin with our prayer for unity of Washington, D.C. We used to say it all the time, and then we've changed it, but we're reverting back, and let's affirm, if my wonderful AV team can put up the prayer for unity of Washington, D.C., I'd like us to affirm that together to establish our consciousness and energy. So it's up there together. Unity of Washington, D.C. is a prosperous and dynamic center of love, peace, joy, and truth. We are mighty to attract an abundance of good and to radiate that good to others. All of our needs are met in full and on time, with enough to share and to spare. We are overflowing with positive, prayerful, and loving people committed to the principles of truth. We all serve for the glory of God. And so it is. Amen. Amen and amen. Thank you so much. Sometimes you have to treat the atmosphere. You have to put into the atmosphere that which you would love to see manifest. You put it into the atmosphere to shift and change the vibrations that are around you, the things that you want to, because we're always broadcasting. So we want to put into the atmosphere that which we claim, that which we are seeking. So we are affirming and praying that the environment that we are creating here in this sacred space is one that truly is a blessing for all of us. So I thank you once again for being here this morning and for joining us out there in the etherland. Wonderful. Well, you know, we are still in the month of March. And March is the time in which we honor and celebrate Women's History Month. And I think the last time that I was here, I spoke on celebrating Mary. And I was going to title that talk, Mary's a Bad Mamma Jamma. But my mother thought it was a little too sacrilegious, so even though, you know, I changed it at the last minute, although it still got printed up in some spaces as that. But Women's History Month. Now, some people may be wondering, well, why do we need a whole month to just, you know, celebrate women's history? And I say, for the same exact reason, we need a month to celebrate and honor those of African American descent, right? So we have we also have an Asian specific month. So we do it because the accomplishments and the contributions of both those groups and many other groups have been systematically and consciously left out of our history. Left out of our history, right? Or they've been given very little regard, you know, a little token remembrance of this person or that person, but very little regard to being equally important or valuable in the success of our country and of our society. So we now make a concerted effort, some of us who are still awakened enough to recognize the need to do so, but we are making a concerted effort to celebrate them and all the other groups as well who have been traditionally disregarded. So, African American History Month just ended, and Women's History Month is in the beginning or middle stages. But I thought I talked a little bit about what's happening in our society. We can't ignore it. You just can't. It's just so up in our faces. And every day it's just something, something, something. And so the other day, I read where Jackie Robinson, the great baseball player, but his history, his military history, had been taken down from the Department of Defense's records. It's been put back up since because I think that they say it was an accident, but not so. But there was a lot of, we know that. But that would be taken down, that the American, Native American code talkers have also been removed from the site. And these were the Native Americans who helped us to win the war by speaking in code and telling us what Hitler and everybody else was up to. And they have been removed from the military site. I just saw yesterday where this was a veteran, a Caucasian gentleman, who was so moved and upset that the first black major general who received the Medal of Honor award was taken. He was taken out of that as well. And this gentleman proceeded to tell all of the things that this man and oh, by the way, next to these things, they're putting DEI hires. DEI. This next to his said a DEI award. And so this gentleman told of his story, that this man was a commander, and he was leading his troops, and he was wounded. And while he was wounded, his troops were getting, defeated from here and there, and they were discouraged. And being wounded, he still rose up, and he commanded them and directed them and helped them, and they were able to stave off that particular group. And then another group arose, and he went over to that group, and he was still wounded from the first time, and he went to that group, and he began to encourage them and give, orders and directions and guidance, and he was wounded again in that particular battle. And then they rose up, and they were able to stand up and defeat that group. And the third attack came. And he was still very much wounded, but not able to actually get in there and fight with them. But he gave them the directions and the orders. And this is the third time that he's shot, he's wounded, and he's still doing all of this. And the gentleman said, this man earned his Medal of Honor. He earned it by showing bravery and by showing, what it is to be in service to one's country. And to dishonor him by putting a DEI next to his Medal of Honor. And I'm thinking, what in the world is wrong with these people? Can there be that much hatred that you cannot allow yourself to give honor to someone or anyone else who does not look like you, but still adds and contributes to the success and the upliftment of this society and this country and this nation? And then I read about that it went further. Of course, the women veterans from the Civil War, the Korean War, World War II, the Vietnam War were also, they were not exempt. They also took these women's vessels who were nurses and served in these particular wars. They either took them out or put them in under DEI service, these nurses. And they were removed from the military website, as women. And some of them said that some of the description was that this was, to have them serve was a form of discrimination. And I'm thinking, what world are we living in? That service, giving of oneself, being willing to sacrifice one's own life and body and limbs in service to the greater good of all is somehow seen as some form of discrimination because they were admitted in and others were not. And so I thought, this is really, you know, because I have an aunt. My great aunt, Margaret, served in the AAA over in Europe. She's also in the Women's Military Museum over in Arlington. Yes, and that's my Aunt Margaret. But I'm thinking, why would you want to dishonor, to invalidate, to disregard, to denigrate, to make small the contributions of those who are serving for the greater good? This says to me that there's something truly wrong with the heart and soul of our nation right now. I just read also where the first woman to ever command a warship, the USS Constitution, her name is Billy Farrell, all right? And she was put into command March 25th, 2022. It's been removed. I mean, what kind of stuff is that? Apparently, she must have earned the ability to command that ship. So I think we are in, I won't say in trouble, but this is truly for me a wake-up call for all of us, and that we must take the time and the energy to acknowledge we all belong. We all are a part of not only this nation and this society, but we are part of humanity. And everybody's part is important, right? The foot, the hand, the knee, all of it is part of the body. And it is to be honored. And so I'm just looking at where we are in terms of consciousness. And so I thought, well, since it's Women's History Month, I want to focus on the power of the divine feminine and how in our country some people are trying to nullify the power of women. I remember when I first began as a minister, female minister, now probably almost going, when I first began, almost, we're heading toward 40 years in terms of my ordination, that I would go to certain churches if I was invited or whatever for some reason. And especially, and it's still true to some churches today, but these were primarily in some of the Southern Baptist churches who didn't believe that a woman belonged in the pulpit. And so they would have the little space on the side where I was supposed to go and speak. Well, you know me. I was like, oh, that's nice. I marched myself right, not in disrespect, but you didn't call me. God called me. And so I would march myself right on up to the pulpit, because what was it going to do, burst out in flames or something? You know, I don't know what they thought was going to happen. And I spoke. And most of it has gone, but there are still some churches, and we had that situation, right, with our dear, wonderful Richards Church. But I've softened a little bit because they had a problem with, you know, with me, I guess, being a woman. And I said, you know what, it doesn't matter to me at this point. I've done my fighting and battles or whatever. If someone's still in that consciousness, it's too much energy for me to try to wake them up, you know, let them stay for right now in that space. But it speaks a lot to what is happening in consciousness on our planet, that some are still trying to take away or nullify the power of women, to take away their autonomy, especially when it comes, of course, to the right to have autonomy over their own bodies, right? Or their ability to work, if they choose to work, to provide for themselves and their family, to contribute to their families along with, if they choose to, their counterparts. And especially in today's society, you need both you need a two-parent household just to survive. But that's okay. But if they choose to do that, to take away their rights to do that, to take away their voice. I don't know if you know the SAVE Act or whatever that is about, but it's simply about taking away the women's power who are married to be able to vote. Okay? I don't know if you all know that that's actually on, it doesn't apply to me, but you know how many women that would knock out of the ability to vote in our elections? And the way they're getting around it, if they have changed from their birth name, their maiden names, they have to go under and let their husbands vote. I mean, this is like living in the bizarro world. And I just think they would love it if women returned to the June Cleaver era. Now, some of you may not know who June, how many of you know who June Cleaver is? Oh, okay. Yes. Those days where women were just having babies and they were cooking dinner in pearls and heels. You know, you had to cook because June was always, she was tight in her wardrobe with pearls and cooking dinner and cleaning the household. All right? So, you know, I don't know. Good luck with that effort, too. I don't know if we're going to go back to the June Cleaver days. But why would people not want to take advantage of a diverse society, a society that includes all races, all cultures, all genders, all ableness? Why wouldn't you want to take advantage of that? That's beyond me. I can't really think about that, like that makes sense to me. Why wouldn't you want to add things into the possibility of being able to utilize all of the wonderful citizens of a society who can contribute? Why would you want to limit virtually half of the population on the planet? And it's not just here in our nation. There are other cultures that also want to, you know, eliminate the value of women and the power of women. They're not educated. They're not allowed to be educated, or they're not allowed to move about in society on their own. But why would you do that, especially this population that enabled you to be here? Every single one of us that is here is here because a woman gave birth to you, right? Yes. Now, I'm quite aware that it takes both the divine masculine and the divine feminine to create life. That is necessary, and everybody has their part to play. But when I think about what it takes to bring life into manifestation, we would have to say that the woman, the energy of the divine feminine, is important to and needed to sustain and nurture and bring forth that life, right? Yes, there's a point in which life is initiated, implanted by the divine masculine. But it is the feminine that keeps it going, that nurtures it, that brings it to fruition. And to think about it, I mean, I've not given birth, but the body of the female is an amazing thing to be able to develop a whole nother human being with all the intricate, you know, systems that are needed for that. That is something that is miraculous and should be celebrated. And I'm thinking, wow, you know, women rock. Women really rock. Because you can plant a seed in the fertile soil, but if you do not water it, nurture it, feed it, it is not going to grow. It is not going to live. And so there's a power that lies within the divine feminine energy. And when I'm talking about the divine feminine energy, this is an energy that exists within men as well. We all have this the masculine energy and the feminine energy and the qualities of both to be able to do and to function and whatever. Some activities, you know, require that physical strength, and others require that inner spiritual strength. And so to actually want to cut off one half of the qualities of being of life that matter to the sustaining of all of our lives, it makes no sense. It makes no sense. And so I wanted to do a little research. Now, speaking about women sustaining and bringing forth life, Have you ever heard about the Eve gene? Some of you know about the Eve gene. It's very powerful. It's very powerful. Let me explain. I'm going to go to GP. And I'm going to share with you about, I've heard about this, but I decided to do a little research on the Eve gene. The Eve gene, often referred to in discussions about human genetics and ancestry, is associated with the concept of mitochondrial Eve. This term denotes the most recent common matrilineal ancestor of all humans alive today. Traits through maternal lineage via mitochondrial DNA. Now, did you pick up on something that's essential? This gene is a gene that exists within every human being that is alive today. Now, the mitochondrial DNA is inherited exclusively from the mother and is passed down through generations. It does not combine like nuclear DNA, making it a useful tool for tracing maternal ancestry. Mitochondrial Eve is estimated to have lived in Africa approximately 150 to 200,000 years ago. She was not the only woman living at that time, but it is the most recent female ancestor from whom all current humans descend through their mothers. Now, this is a powerful gene. Now, this is the thing. It's important to note that mitochondrial Eve is not the first human or the only woman of her time, but rather she is a point of reference in chain and tracing the female lineages. There were many other women alive during her time. However, those lineages have since become extinct. There is no living soul, human being on the planet who does not come or has lineage of mitochondrial Eve. Everybody has come from her lineage that's on the planet. There were other people, but they did not survive. Those lineages did not make it, right? Did not make it. But Eve, this particular soul, this woman out of Africa, and that's going to be a whole nother thing that might be shocking to people, but that's the way it is. Because science has proven life began, this is the origins of our human expression, is from the continent of Africa. And mitochondrial Eve, is her genes are the only ones that have survived, so that everybody living today has a connection to her lineage, to her DNA. That's powerful stuff. That is some powerful stuff, because all other DNA lineage became extinct, did not survive. The only one to survive were hers, and we all come from her lineage. Hence, it's called the Eve gene. Not the first woman, but the lasting woman, the only woman's gene, DNA, who lasted throughout every other person's lineage. And then there's a whole thing about the Y chromosome, Adam. That maybe we'll do that Father's Day, I don't know. But since it's what we're talking about, Eve. This is so deep because what it says is that we are all a part of each other. We are all connected to each other. We would not be here without her mitochondrial DNA that lasted, that endured through all this time. So there's something about this Eve gene to me that speaks to the level of endurance, of strength, and qualities that allowed us to be here, but to keep on keeping on. Something about it talks about, to me, the evolution of this, the power for us to continue to evolve. And there are other things that take place that caused us all to, of course, look different and express differently. And that's a whole nother topic in the variations. But this one little gene is a gene that every living being on the planet has. And it's passed down through generations through who? The mitochondria, the mother, the feminine, the divine feminine. And I'm thinking, boy, I said to myself, I thought Mary was a bad mamma jamma because she, you know, she was one who was able to have immaculate conception. But I might have to put Eve up here ahead of her. Because there's something very powerful about this survival instinct, this endurance instinct, of which we all have within us. We all are a part of it. We have a gene that enables us to survive no matter what, to have endurance no matter what. We are stronger, and it's not just the physical strength that comes through which is needed. There's always that physical, the outer strength, which is represented by that divine masculine energy. But equally important is an inner strength, an inner determination, an inner ability by the divine feminine to keep on keeping on, to be able to endure and to have an inner strength. And so, you know, the stuff that we're made of is physical. But I also believe that the stuff that we're made up of is spiritual. All of that is also a part of us. And it's this divine feminine energy that allows us to push through any challenges so that this part of the DNA of the human species has caused us to be able to survive and to thrive and to be here now. So there's a pushing through of everything else that helped other lineages to become extinct. But her gene kept pushing through any kind of challenges. And I thought, wow, this is really powerful. Because this whole thing about the divine feminine's ability to push through pain. When you're giving birth, there's pain. But that energy within the divine feminine pushes through that pain. How much have we experienced pain in our lives or difficulties or challenges where we had to find something within us that enabled us to push on through, to keep going, to keep evolving, to keep growing? That is in every one of our DNAs and in our spiritual psyche. And that's carried by this divine energy, this divine feminine, the power of the within. The masculine is the power of the without, the might, the physical strength, the outer strength. The divine feminine is that power of the within. And don't say that one is better than the other. Both are needed. We need inner strength to bring forth life. Life, inner strength to bring forth our dreams. Inner strength to accomplish whatever it is we want to accomplish. If you do not have that inner strength, my pouch said, never give up. There has to be something in the spirit, in the soul, in your spirit and in your soul that says, I will push through. I will carry on. I will endure. I will be all right. So this stuff that we're facing, we're going to push through. Right? And that's not to say that it's not going to be uncomfortable or painful. People are already beginning to experience a level of pain and suffering. But we're going to push through. This is the time of the divine feminine on the planet. And I don't know why the world still is trying to squash this energy. But it's an energy that can heal us. It's an energy that is needed. It's an energy that is equal to the opposite energy of the divine masculine. Both are needed. And when you try to eliminate one side of the equation for life itself, you're going to run into trouble. It's not possible for you to continue to sustain life with just one side of the equation. And so we have to begin, if we're going to continue to evolve as a species, we're going to continue to continue on, we've got to tap into the mitochondrial Eve, that gene that refused to be extinct, that gene that said we're going to continue to thrive and to carry on so that life continues to move forward on the planet. And so we have to do so not by squashing women's rights, but by embracing the qualities, right? that are necessary for the continuation of our society, for life to continue on, for life to continue to grow and evolve. You cannot do it without this meshing. So those who don't speak up for this are not realizing the damage that we are doing to ourselves. Each side must be valued. Each side is essential to life itself. And so this is, yes, Women's History Month, but we're talking about the survival of the species on the planet. Both are needed. The divine feminine energy that exists within everybody, as well as the divine masculine. And these qualities of being are needed at different times. Sometimes we need the masculine energy to be the one that stands up and stands out according to the experience or whatever is needed. And sometimes there's a need for the divine feminine energy to take its place and to take the lead. It moves. And so I thought, let me look up and see what ChatGP says about the divine feminine energy. And so I looked that up as well. And this is what it says. The divine feminine refers to a spiritual concept that embodies qualities traditionally associated with femininity, such as nurturing, intuition, compassion, and creativity. It represents the feminine aspect of the divine, which can be found in various religions and spiritual traditions. Okay? The divine feminine is also contrasted with the divine masculine, which embodies qualities like strength, logic, and assertiveness. In many cultures, the divine feminine is personified through sacred forms, archetypes, that kind of thing, symbolizing wisdom, fertility, the earth. This concept encourages a balance between the masculine and the feminine energies within individuals and societies. We have to balance both. You can't eliminate one side. We balance both, right? Promoting harmony and wholeness. The divine feminine is also seen as a source of empowerment, inviting individuals to reconnect with their inner selves. That divine feminine is the inner self. The masculine is the outer self. We need to show up in the outer world and function and do and accomplish and achieve and build. But we need to also function in the inner realm with the divine sacredness to have, you know, compassion, connection, harmony, peace, to be able to have that quiet, to gather that quiet strength. Both are needed, right? So it says the divine feminine is also seen as a source of empowerment, inviting individuals to reconnect with their inner selves and embrace qualities that may have been suppressed or undervalued in a patriarchal society. So the things that they suggest is embracing intuition. Stop thinking, oh, it's just a woman's intuition. It's everybody's. Everybody has intuition, the capabilities. It's a quality that derives from the divine feminine energy, but you have it within you. Everybody. So we need to stop poo-pooing intuition as being something so lighthearted. Oh, it's just a woman's intuition. She doesn't know what she... No. It's the gateway to your connection to divine knowing, spiritual awareness, spiritual knowing. It's that part of that divine energy, that feminine energy of intuiting, of being connected to the spirit in such a way that you know that you know that you know. And so we need to begin to embrace that. That divine energy that helps us to have nurturing relationships, to bring light and to understand, because the divine feminine is about connection. It's about seeing the greater picture, that we are all a part of the collective. We are a part of the society. So it's not about him and her and me and this separate part. No. We are a part of this world order, the spiritual. So it's also this naturing. It fosters compassion, empathy, interactions with others, promotes deeper connections, creativity, engaging in creative activities, art, writing, cooking, all these things also from the divine feminine aspect. It doesn't mean that only women are artists, only women can cook, but that quality of art and creativity is the part of the divine feminine energy. So connection, self-care practices, taking time. And I also like the emotional expression. Sometimes women are put down for being too emotional. Emotions are energy in motion. It's energy in motion. It's the expression, the ability to express and to feel. Again, you cannot poo-poo a part of our spiritual and human connection. Our ability to think, yes, but our ability to feel is equally important. It's very important, and to bring balance. So this is something that it's the time on the planet for this type of energy to begin to, it's the only thing that's going to save us at this point, okay? Because it's the only thing that's going to allow us to see, not us separate, but we're going to see each other as all children of God, children of the Most High, all worthy, all worth it. It's really very powerful. So it's not a weak energy at all. It's a very powerful energy. It's a very strong energy that will keep us sane and balanced and renewed and, you know, competent. So what I wrote here is that the divine energy has the sacred power to heal through love unconditional. There's nothing like the love of the divine feminine that's going to accept you, that's going to bring you in, that's going to love you, right? It has the power to endure pain and suffering. Men have pain, the physical pain, but let a man try to give birth. That's not going to work. And I think it's been proven, not strength, but the endurance of pain. Women can endure more pain. It's the ability for us to be able to do that, to bring new life into a situation or a circumstance. It has the power to feel through the spirit, right? Through intuition. It has the power to nurture a thing so that that thing begins to grow and evolve and to expand. So it's feeding growth. It's feeding evolution. It feeds expansion. That is all, you know, part of this divine feminine energy. The power to connect through compassion, through acceptance, so, and the ability to feel one another. The scripture says that we're here to love one another. How can I love you if you can't even feel what I'm going through? Or you don't acknowledge me as an individual or as a person on the planet? It's very, very significant. I think there's something very, very wrong when a person, a so-called leader, or a person who has been put in charge of not only many lives, but the livelihood of many people. And I'm speaking of, and I will speak his name, of Elon Musk, who has been put in charge of affecting many people's lives and the quality of their life. Will they be able to feed their families? Will our seniors be able to buy medication? I mean, the whole works about how we function as a society. And I can't believe, but this is one of the statements that came from Elon. He said, the fundamental weakness of Western civilization is empathy. The fundamental weakness of Western civilization is empathy. He sees empathy as a tool that will be our downfall. And I say, without empathy, we become a civilization of ruthless, barbaric souls on the planet. We don't become civilized. Civilization came about through the caring of the other, through the community, right? That's how you have civilization. Because without that thought of empathy, including everybody in and seeing that, then you have everybody just picking up a gun and killing it like the old Wild Wild West. Everybody's killing everybody. No. That's uncivilization, to be uncivilized. Empathy is what will draw us together and keep us together as a species on this planet. It is a divine quality. By God. This is a definition that empathy is a trait of the divine feminine energy. Meaning, it doesn't mean that men don't empathize. I hope you hear the distinction I'm making. But empathy is a part of this. And it says it is the action of understanding, which is why we say, look, let some women get around the table. We're going to talk it out. We're going to work it out. We're not going to necessarily pick up a gun and shoot or whatever. We're going to let's see how we can work this thing through. Okay? So it's the action of understanding, being aware of or being sensitive to or vicariously experiencing the feelings, thoughts, and experiences of another. It is not only what makes us a civilized society, but it makes us a compassionate one, a caring one, a connected one, right? It's connected to the highest expression of spirit in all forms, in all states. It is the symbol empathy. The more empathetic you are, it signifies an awakened soul. Because you cannot be awake and asleep to the feelings and pains and sufferings of others. It doesn't compute. Every great spiritual teacher, master, or awakened or enlightened soul was a soul who cared, who had empathy for the sacred other. Whether it was Jesus or Buddha, right? Buddha was rich and had a good life, but he saw some suffering in the world, and he left everything that he had to go out to see how he could alleviate the suffering of others. Jesus walked around and saw, yes, he saw the rich people and the rich Pharisees and teachers, but he went around and he said, oh, these people need healing. Let me have compassion. Every great spiritual leader has to have this sense of divine empathy for the sacred other, for the connectedness. You can't be awakened and be asleep to the significance of the other soul, to the feelings of other. They feel one with. To be enlightened is to be one with, to feel the oneness with all. You're not against anything, but you're including everything. This is how when I used to go to India, one of my teachers used to say, it's when you can embrace everything that is, you take it in, you allow it all to be, that you become enlightened. It's not about pushing away that and pushing away this and pushing away that. It's allowing everything to be as it is and to embrace it all, and to embrace it all without that reaction causes you to be able to see it all, to live through it all, to experience it all, and to gain your inner sense of connection and strength to the oneness that is life itself. So we have a call. We have something, you know, that is calling us. This new energy that is trying, and it's a dying energy. It's a last ditch effort to remain in control and in power and all. It's not going to work. There are going to be some changes, but it's not going to work. The scripture that comes to me when Jesus said that the meek shall inherit the earth, the goodness of the people on the earth shall outlast the greed of certain people on the planet. Okay? Because they're going to need the other people. They're not going to want to work in the fields. They're already having trouble already. Fine, who's going to work my field? I want you to be exported out to your own country, but now what? That shows you the stupidity. I'm going to vote to have you, you know, eliminated, but you work my farm and you bring life to my business. But now, who's going to do it? Are you going to do it? Are you going to do it? They're all sitting around the table saying, I'm not doing it. I don't want to do it. I don't know how to plant any food. No. Again, the meek shall inherit the earth. The awakened, the enlightened shall do it. And this is the age of the divine feminine energy to come and to coalesce and to bring everything together, everyone together, every aspect of life. And so this warring and this elimination and this killing, it will have to die out. It's going to implode upon itself. And it doesn't have sustainability. You know, eventually they recognize, well, we can't kill everybody off because there'll be nobody left but us. It has to die out. There's a poem, and I'm going to close with this poem. I love it. It's from Edward Mark, and it's a poem called Outwitted. And it says, he drew the circle to shut me out. Heretic, rebel, a thing to flout. But love and I had the wit to win, we drew a circle that took him in. And I love that. See, he drew a circle to keep me out, but we, love and I, we said, okay, fine, but we're going to draw a circle that includes everybody. And the more you try to exclude, the bigger our circle's going to be. The more you name this one that we're going to put them, everybody's going to be put in the circle. You cannot continue to live without the spiritual qualities of life. Empathy, love, peace, abundance, joy, sharing, compassion. There's enough on the planet for everybody. So we understand that the Department of Greed and Evil, I heard that one, I like that one. That's in the initials. Can only last but so long. So let us not panic. Let us know that we have something innate within us. We got the gene, we got the Eve gene. We can survive. We're going to thrive because she's still around. And the only one around out of all the other genes on the planet at that time, she is the only one that is still thriving. It's in us to continue to grow and to unfold and to evolve and to take this next step in our evolutionary leap as human beings. This is our test. And we cannot exclude anyone. Everyone must be included in our next growth spurt. And it's a wonderful thing. So whether we're speaking up, speaking out, acting up, acting out, doesn't matter. Do so with this quality of thriving and surviving through the genes of Eve, that wonderful energy that says, no, we will continue to grow and to unfold as a species because it will heal us. It will heal us and move us into a state of oneness. So I'm like, come on through, Eve. Come on through. That power to last is an everlasting power that I know comes from the divine. It comes from God. It comes from the good. And each one of us has it within us. So let's go forth and do what we need to do. Let's harness the fierceness of an Eve mitochondrial gene, the fierceness and the badness of Eve. I said, ooh, Eve, now she was a bad mamma jamma. Yes, indeedy. And she carries that indoors. It made me think of like a mama bear. They said, don't mess with a mama bear when the cubs are. That energy that comes from that mama bear or the mother who's maybe 100 pounds who needs to lift up a car to get her baby from under that car, don't mess with that kind of energy. That's a powerful energy of that divine feminine that will do anything so that life can thrive and survive. And that's us, folks. So remember, tap into that part of you. We can endure it all. The Bible says in Galatians 6:19, it says, you know, we shall reap if we faint not. We're going to reap if we faint not. And we have everything we need to continue to thrive, not only to thrive, to survive, but to thrive. So you with me? Yes, good. Let's do it. Amen. 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 Yeah.